Passion and desire can attract everything you want in life. Passion by Design is a show about designing a life of passion. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we're the authors of a concept and a book called Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life.
And we'll be discussing your home and your relationships, your body, your spirit, and anything else that you want to talk about.
And we're here with you live every Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 to discuss living life fully through the senses here on AM 1240 KNRY. You can call in and join us with your questions and comments at 831-373-1234. And here we are, Paula, on this beautiful spring day.
Oh, it is absolutely gorgeous. In California, I will say, in California, I had about an hour conversation with a dear friend who is in Wyoming. And this dear friend in Wyoming had to drive on her snow machine 6 miles down her driveway, that I put in quotes, to get to the road, to get to her car, to drive to town to use the phone.
Oh, my goodness. And I complained about a couple of days of rain.
It kind of puts it in perspective. And I said, and why exactly do you live in that state? And she said, I'm really wondering.
Oh, Paula. Is that Holland?
That's Holland. Yes.
Yes. My goodness. We got to get her back to California.
We do. We do. But it's incredibly beautiful when you dig out under the snow. Apparently. I'm not sure I believe it.
Well, let me tell you what I was inspired to do today. Because I woke up and the sun was coming in my window, just pouring in, and it was so foggy yesterday and the day before, and I thought, hallelujah, there I can see the spring. I can see the flowers starting to bud on my trees. Mm-hmm. I can see the grass is green. Everything is so fresh, and I was inspired to wear something other than black. So I went to my closet, and I opened up my closet, and I'm just so ridiculously organized in my closet. I've got all my colors in sections.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
I mean,
so
doesn't everyone?
You know, if I want to wear blue, I go right to my blue section. And unfortunately, the largest part of my closet is black. I have an entire section devoted to black pants.
Mm.
People laugh when they go in, how many pairs of black pants do you really need, or black skirts? And I realized that I had been wearing black for probably 4 months.
Oh.
It was my go-to color. And, uh-huh. You know, that goes so against what you and I talk about in the bedroom, because we talk about freshening up the look of your bedroom by changing sheets and colors. And I was reminded of a beautiful quote that we have in our book, Passion by Design, by my dear friend, Melissa Gilbert, and Melissa, who was Laura on Little House on the Prairie, uh-huh. who happens to be one of my dearest friends in life. And she said, I change the bedding, the fabrics, the throws, even the pillows on the chaise as often as the seasons. I go for lighter colors and fabrics in the spring and summer and heavier, cozier fabrics with rich colors in the winter and fall. And Paula, I know you've always been such an inspiration in the constantly changing bedroom and look. And, you know, speak to that a little bit, because you were a great inspiration for me.
Well, you know, Sandy, it really keeps me seeing my bedroom. And I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago about how when something is in front of us all the time, or we eat the same meal, or we do exactly the same thing over and over again, the same habit, we become habituated. And we become kind of numbed to it. And so the simple act of moving a painting or changing a bed covering or flipping something over on your bed, one of the things that I really am a strong proponent of in my designs is designing things that are reversible, so that when you want to make a change, you've got untold amounts of things that you can flip one pillow and you change the look. You can flip the entire set and it changes the look. You can mm-hmm. really mix it up. And I'm not a proponent of matchy-matchy, but mm-hmm. I am a proponent of make it fresh, keep it changing.
That's a good idea. And you also talk a lot about the colors and how they look on you, surrounding you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That, and I think we do talk about this in the book, too. And I think I kind of embarrass and horrify some people when I first say this. But it's really, you know, if I am sprawled out au naturel on my sheets, I want those sheets to flatter my skin tone, don't I?
Yes. Absolutely.
So in the shopping for those sheets and that bedding and the bathrobe, I'm taking my personal coloring into account when I make those purchases, not simply the colors that I like. Although, interestingly enough, often the colors we're drawn to really do flatter us. But that's another topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm really excited about our guest today because one of the things that I always wonder is when... You know, we work so hard on our surroundings, and sometimes we just throw whatever is convenient on when we get home from work, and we're not always attractive.
Mm.
And when we're in a romantic relationship, I think that part of that responsibility is to try to continue looking good as you can, when you're with them. And that doesn't mean that you don't, you know, you have to walk around wearing makeup constantly, but you don't want to throw on a torn t-shirt or whatever. And also, I think there's such an interesting line between dressing appropriately in the business world, but also dressing to look your best. And our guest today, Lauren Solomon, is an award-winning image advisor to CEOs, millionaires, business startups, along with others who just want to enhance the way they present themselves. And I'm so excited because she's going to reveal some secrets to looking great professionally and personally. And guess what? It may change your life.
Uh-huh.
So welcome, Lauren Solomon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I've got so excited about your type of work and your passion for your work. And I know that you told me that your business actually began in 1994. And what was the idea, the seed of an idea that became your passion with this business?
Well, I don't really want to date myself, but I will say that my business actually took flight. Well, it started in when I was four. It took flight and I started to get paid for it in 1994. But it is a seed that I was born with, and it was a matter of nurturing and cultivating it through my entire life until I actually realized that my hobby was ready to be born into a business and that I could marry my passions and my talents and actually live my own most passionate life by waking up every day and doing exactly what I love, exactly what I'm great at, exactly what I've been doing in my off time. I could do it in my all the time. And so life turned into one great big passionate ball of fun. And it was a hobby that I turned into a business as a result of a business school assignment when we were told to create a business that we would love to work in. And I was so miserable. I was working in a corporate job, and I was crying myself to sleep every night. I was in a nasty relationship. I was crying myself to sleep double time. And I would wake up in the morning, and my eyes were brown and puffy. And I kept saying, there's not enough concealer on the planet to actually cover this. And I'm 30. What am I going to do? I'll never live long enough to retire.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, things were not looking so rosy, but this assignment made me really sit and think about, what do I love? Is there something out there I could love enough to do every day and really wake up joy-filled, not care if I slept or not, not care if I ate or not, you know, just blend day into night into day and have fun with it. And this was the only thing I could think of. And to this day, so many years, where are we, 16, 17 years later, getting to do this full time and work with incredible people and have a wonderful time doing it and watch how other people's lives are transformed and changed and improved, and they get to achieve their goals and move closer to their dreams by using the information that I can contribute allows me to be of great service and at the same time watch my clients, who of course become friends, because just spend a little time with anyone in the dressing room, you're going to be friends. The truth comes out when we're standing there in our underwear. It's just the way it is.
It certainly does. Yeah.
And then, you know, their lives, I look at them each as a bloom, a flower in bloom that starts to blossom and unfold before my eyes. And then they get to be, you know, fully bloomed when they walk out the door as their best selves, really reflecting what they've always known was inside, but perhaps didn't know how to translate from the inside to the outside. And that's where I come in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great, Lauren. This is Paula. Hi.
Hi, Paula.
I just love what you do. It's very, very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, you definitely know, Lauren, and understand the importance of personal style in a workplace. How do you communicate that to someone?
It really depends on the workplace, and it depends on the person. I don't separate the workplace from the life of the individual. As you guys were talking earlier, I was just jotting down some notes and making note of the importance of life and lifestyle, because within our own lives, we have our lifestyle, and that lifestyle includes where we go every day, with whom we spend our time, where we spend our time, what is expected of us. You know, it's all the many hats we wear. So from a purely professional perspective, I can identify by industry, by regionality, by level of seniority and experience for the individual where they fit and what's basically expected of them in respect to how they show up. But the truth is, everything comes back to you. How do you want to be seen? Who do you really want to be in the world? How do you want to be received? And then how do you want the world to reward you? Because regardless of your job or your professional situation, there is a base minimum of behavior and also self-respect that gets reflected in how we show up. And then we go up from there and say, okay, if this is who we are by nature, if I'm sporty and feminine, how am I going to reflect that sporty feminine quality in my professional wardrobe, in my hair, in my eyeglasses, in my shoes and my handbags and my accessories? How am I going to build this wardrobe very much in the way that I would design my home? And say, how is this going to reflect me to the audience that sees me every day? And we build a professional wardrobe, so it may not be suits. It may be skirts with jackets. It may be dresses with cardigans. It may be a combination of those things versus women who don't want to wear skirts. They're very sporty all the time and don't have that feminine quality, so they really do want the pants suit, but it's not going to be the Giorgio Armani style necessarily, the flowy and the soft fabrics. They want something a little more taut, more athletic, more structure to their body, something that feels more comfortable for their essence, for their personality, that reflects who they are. And I call these things my magic outfits. And I'm a believer that our entire closet can be filled with magic outfits, because anytime you walk into your closet, you should be able to walk out feeling like magic has just happened in there, not that it's your own worst nightmare and you have to escape.
Oh, Lauren, that's fantastic information. For our listeners, we're talking to Lauren Solomon, who's an award-winning image advisor. And if you'd like to ask any questions, please feel free to call us at 831-373-1234. But Lauren, now, how do you help your clients develop that personal style?
that requires taking a little time, which I admit most of us don't do. We need to take a little time with ourselves and really answer some key questions. A lot of it starts in the closet. And if I have the luxury of starting in the closet or through even a remote photo session, whatever it takes to dig in to see where the person's personal style resides today, and then just in talking to them and answering a few key questions around what I call my four gateways of personal image and style, is that there's a physical aspect to the clothes we wear, but there's also an intellectual aspect. We need to feel a certain way when we wear these clothes. They're expected to accomplish that for us. There's an emotional aspect in that same way that digs even deeper for us. So the intellectual aspect is how it translates on the outside. The emotional aspect is how that physicality translates to us on the inside. And then the spiritual aspect of it is, how does that fulfill me? How does this make me feel different and inspire me and move me forward? Now, that may be asking a lot from one of your pair of black slacks. It may. However, at the same time, the reason we have 30 pair of black slacks in our closet is because they go with everything. They sit on the bottom. We like that. Usually they will minimize size. They will hide dirt. They will act as a foundation, so you can have the heaviness on the bottom and lighten up on the top, so that as you come closer to your face, you should be getting lighter and brighter and bringing the attraction upward so that the focus becomes your eyes. Now, through these gateways, everyone will ultimately start to respond to some different aspect of, gee, this is a cotton pant with a jean style. It's black, but you know, bootleg, and I wear this when, or this is a rayon flowy wide leg side zip clean front, and I wear this with, you know, rockin' heels, and I put it on with a glittery sweater, and I go out on a date in those black pants. We have our times and our reasons for having 30 pair of black pants. I have yet to figure out why we have 30 pair of jeans, but 30 pair of black pants in different styles, that is more easily understood for me. And I can see how it resonates with the person in her space or in his space. But the same is true, that it impacts us because it becomes us. If it doesn't, in fact, become us and serve us in that way, then it detracts and it takes away from us. So when we're discussing who am I really, how do I want to look, feel, how do I want to show up, what has been my experience? Am I in transition? Am I trying to change and move to a next level so that my past is not dictating my future? Am I in line for a promotion and I want to guarantee that I get that promotion and I'm able to move up in my professional life? Then my look has to move up too. Everything about our lives has to change with the transition that we're in. And people forget that when it comes to their wardrobes, because we think, oh, it's just clothes. It doesn't matter. You know, if it fits and it's clean, there we go.
Lauren, I have a question on that. And what I hear you say, I love this because I just so resonate. And thank you. I probably have at least 30 pair of black pants in my closet and not one pair of jeans. But that's just me. But it sounds to me like you're talking congruence, with being authentic with who you are as a person and manifesting that even in times of transition, or especially in times of transition.
You're absolutely right. It's all about alignment, authenticity, congruence, however you want to call it. It's about taking what's going on the inside and translating it to the outside so that you've got an inside-out, head-to-toe opportunity to communicate who you are, how you are, who you want to be, how you want to be received, to create that message for yourself as the message and the messenger.
Really interesting. Are men different in this than women, Lauren?
The psychology of working with men is different. I would say that men are not socialized to believe they know this stuff and should be doing it already. So when I work with men, by the time they come to me, they're just hungry for information. It's rarely the men who say, just do it and make it work. The men want to know why. The men want to know why this fabric over that one, why this collar over that one, why this style or this color, how can I make this work? Why does this work and that not work? Men tend to get into the technical aspect of the dressing and the clothes, and then they get into the psychology of the watch. Like, why does one man choose Panerai and another man chooses Rolex? And, you know, what is the message? What is the team uniform? Because men tend to be very familiar with team uniforms. It's something they've grown up with. So if you're going to show up in the locker room, you've got to be wearing the uniform. And if the guy next to you sees you wearing the same uniform, and he knows you're on his team, he can trust you, he can open up to you, he can do business with you. Women are different in that respect because we're socialized and raised to believe that we should know how to dress ourselves and everyone around us, and everything is about the beauty of it, and we should enjoy it. And you know, there are so many women who simply don't enjoy it, and not only do they not enjoy it, it's not their genius, and it shouldn't be their job. But my female clients have big jobs, big lives, busy lifestyles, and this stuff will stress them out more than presenting to the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Getting
mm-hmm.
dressed for the day of that meeting will nearly send them into apoplexy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
We take that away. We help it make sense. We set up a process. We make sure that you can go into your closet and dress in the dark and not make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should be able to walk out and feel great, know you look great, and then forget about it.
Well, that takes me to the question of shopping for what ends up in your closet. So that sounds mm-hmm. to me, Lauren, like that's where you come in.
That's one of the places I come in. We follow on a continuum. In my ideal world, we start in your closet. We pull out everything that does not serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the three witch sisters, the should, would, could sisters.
Yeah.
And all of those things, anything that's in there for more than a season that still has the tags on it, out. Anything in there that you have tried to wear more than twice, where you've put it on and then you've taken it off and said, I just don't know what to do with this, out. Anything that results in a statement that sounds like, I should wear this, I paid so much for it, out. Anything that says, I would wear this if I lost 5 pounds, definitely out. And anything that says, I could wear this if I lived that kind of life. I mean, I walked into a client's closet. She had an entire wall filled with shimmer. Now, I'm all for bling and shimmer, and if you go to the award shows, and if you're living that red carpet lifestyle, you need those kinds of things. Well, that was not her life. I mean, she was pretty much a soccer mom. Worked from home, soccer mom, periodically showed up at clients' offices, and she loved her life. But she had this vision that it needed bling, it needed shimmer, it needed shine, so she would buy all these things, and they were just guilting her every single day. So those things, they come out. And then all of a sudden, you have space, and you can get some clarity around the things that are in your closet that you absolutely love and wear every day. And why is it that you reach for these things? Why are they the workhorses of your wardrobe? Why are they the things you reach for to dress to impress? Why are they the things that make you feel the best? Is it the color? Is it the shape? Is it the fabric? Is it the feel? What about it is working so well for you? And we analyze this, and we really look at the ingredients that are making up this magic outfit, and we take that information, and then we can turn it into a wish list for going shopping. Because now we know what you've got that we can build from, and we know what's missing, because in that element of the learning, we're also looking at your calendar. We're looking to see where you go, with whom you meet, how often, what are the things that you really need in your closet to serve and support you? Because your wardrobe is a tool. It should not be the center of all the stress in your life. It should actually be a great support system that starts your day and allows you to then close the door behind you when you walk out and just be in the world and just go out and do your thing. Don't worry, am I appropriate? Don't start fidgeting. Don't say, oh my God, I didn't see that stain because I didn't have a light bulb in my closet. You know, these kinds of things that throw us off center, that take us out of our strengths and make us focus on ridiculousness and then open up our conversations with apologies, that doesn't help us.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, and I love what you're saying, Lauren, about, you know, the light bulb in the closet, because people ask me about that, too, and when I'm designing bedrooms and master suites. And that lighting is so critical to just what you're saying, making the right choices, you know, even if it's as simple for men as making sure their socks are matched. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing more horrifying than looking down and, you know, you've got something that's mismatched, or I have to share this story. I have not thought of this in the longest time. I play competitive tennis, and I was on the court. This is quite a while ago, and this was when the one-piece tennis outfits were popular. And you know, fashion in tennis, as in anything, changes and ebbs and flows. So they can keep us buying more things,
sure,
which of course we happily do. I looked down. I had my tennis dress on inside out. Well, you can imagine that I probably didn't win that match, did I? I was so distracted. I was so horrified. And I couldn't exactly whip it off there on the court and change it, could I? Oh, my God.
No, not very well, I'm supposing.
Not so well, no.
And that's a perfect example of how, by being distracted.
You talk a lot about color and understanding color. And I think a lot of us don't really know what color we are.
Mm.
Can you speak about
that? We're never just one color. We're never just one. We are made up of a multitude, just a personal rainbow of colors. But there are ways to guide ourselves. And you said earlier that, you know, people tend to be attracted to colors that flatter them to a certain degree.
Right.
And you want to make sure that they're not tilting over into the, I'd rather just go with black because I'm not sure. So the first place to look is your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We all have many, many colors in our eyes. We've usually, I would say, maybe 1 out of 1,000 people has actually looked into their own eyes to discern the colors that are in there. But if you look closely in a bright light into a mirror and look at your eye and really pick out the colors that are in there, the fastest way to know what can work for you is to take any color that's in your eye and put it next to your face.
Mm-hmm.
And you will automatically get that extra bounce of energy from the eye to the garment and back to your eye. And after all of our information, everything we want people to know about us comes from our communication center, from the shoulders up.
Right, right.
Everything else is just the supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
So let those things next to your face certainly support you. The next place to look is your skin and your hair, because we all bring, between hair, skin, and eyes, our dominant color characteristics with us. So you can combine, if you reflect what you bring with you naturally in your hair, skin, and eyes, and you reflect through your clothing, you'll see that you get an automatic boost of energy and attention, and there's a natural vibrational rhythm that gets your body resonating with you as well.
Right. That is so true. And if you're just joining us, our guest today is Lauren Solomon. And Lauren is an image consultant and just has an amazing amount of information for us. So let's take a short break. And I just want to let our listening audience know that when you go to our website, which is www.passionbydesign.com, and you mentioned that you heard our show and heard Lauren on the show today, we will enter you into a drawing to win a free autographed copy of our book, which is Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life. And we'll be right back.
Do you want to get into the best shape of your life? My name is Ellen Bradley Gannis, and I've actually helped thousands of people not only transform their body, but improve their health and the way they feel every day. Fad diets are unsafe, and they don't work. If you're really ready for a change, visit me now at www.passioncleanse.com. Free personal coaching and money back guaranteed.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passion by Design with Paula McChesney and Sandy Peckinpah. And we're talking with our guest today, Lauren Solomon. And Lauren, just following up on our sponsor there, talking about our bodies and body image, that is just such a, It's such a powerful topic. It's laden with all kinds of danger zones, I think particularly for women, but certainly for men as well. What would you say about people's body shapes and how you advise them in their wardrobe?
I'm glad you said that men also suffer from this, because they are not immune to it, although we would believe that they are. They're not. And everyone has something about their body that they would change. Many of us have many things about our bodies that we would change.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like to say is there's absolutely nothing wrong with your body. There are bad clothes, and there's lots of bad design out there. Horrible, horrible design. And there's, a lack of reality and truth in marketing. So what we're sold does not actually have relevance for most of us to our lives. And so we start with the understanding that there's nothing wrong with me, and there's nothing wrong with you. And if there's something wrong with the garment, then we don't buy that one. And if that garment is in your closet, we get rid of it. If that garment is in the store, we just put it back. We're not going to buy it because it looks good on the mannequin. We need to buy it because it looks good on us, it serves us, it flatters us, it fits us, it makes us feel fabulous. Those are my five Fs. It has to fit, flatter, function, and make you feel fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Every garment that comes in has to qualify there. And if there is a garment that doesn't suit your shape, then we look for another. And there are enough choices out there that we can always find them. Unfortunately, we've been sold a bill of goods that says we should be able to purchase garments off the rack. Well, let's think about that for a second, because designers are manufacturing thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pieces of one garment. How can they possibly know what my body looks like?
Good point.
So they're cutting for the most general size, within a style that suits their brand, their label, their ideal client. But they don't know me. They don't know you. So basically, if I put that garment on, and let's say I love the leg of the pant, the hip and the thigh fit great, but the waist is 3 inches too big, I'm going to put it back? No, I'm not. I'm going to call the alterationist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, please come make this a perfect fit for me. Because there's nothing wrong with my body. The garment is not cut perfectly for me, but we can fix that.
Right, exactly.
I'd rather take a scissor to a piece of fabric than a surgical knife to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lauren, that's a really good point, because I fortunately went through the Monterey High School system, and we were fortunate enough to have home economics, and I learned how to structure a garment. And so to this day, I alter my own clothes. I hem my own clothes. I take them in where they need to be taken in. I add a dart if I need a dart. And it's been so beneficial to me to have that. And I know there are wonderful tailors out there who can do that too. And I think what you're saying is so important for women to hear, that just because a style is not made for their body doesn't mean that their body is not good. And I think we all get in that trap of getting frustrated. Like, normally, I'm typically a size 6 or an 8. Sometimes, I have to buy a 10 or a 12 to accommodate a certain style. And, even if I like that outfit, something psychologically says, you're not buying a 10 because you're not a 10. And it just makes me mad. And I wonder how damaging that is to women, when they go shopping, that they don't realize that what you're saying is so true, that they're cutting for a vast majority of people, and also for their model who is in the showroom at the time.
Hugely damaging, giant, huge damage. And it's been put upon us for so long that we actually do believe that it's us and not the garment, which is completely ridiculous. We also believe that numbers matter, which they don't. There is no standardization of sizing for women's clothes. There is some for men, but still not perfect. But for women, there is no standard size. There is no standard fit. And that's why if you can ignore the number, I mean, in my own closet, and I wear an 8-10, but in my own closet, I've got 14s and 16s because for that style, I love the way it fits with the extra fabric or the extra length, or I want to belt it, so I want to wear it differently than they've designed it to be worn because that's my own personal style. So who are they to dictate? They're not there to dictate, but we as consumers and unique individuals have to be intelligent enough and willing to take a little bit of time to invest to say, wait, this is a good foundation for the look that I'm after, but it's not it completely. What can I add to make this uniquely mine?
Well, you know, Lauren, to speak to that point about sizes, I've actually cut labels out of garments that gave me a message that I didn't want to focus on. For the same reason, you know.
When I shop with people, I pull the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't see what I'm pulling. They have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into the dressing room is already full. It's completely laid out. I've got everything laid out and styled so that you can see how the pieces go together and how many ways you can wear the different things that I've set up. But if some of those are smaller and some of those are larger and I'm taking them off the hanger and putting them on you, and you certainly don't have time to sit and look at either the price tag or the size tag. So we're just, you know, pushing through to get everything on. I can't even tell you how many women I've had who I've had to dress facing away from the mirror. And then when I turned them toward the mirror so that they could look at themselves, they cried.
Oh, wow, how beautiful. You know, Lauren, because this is a show about passion, which also includes passion for the ones that we love, how do we take our look into the bedroom? How do we do that?
I believe once we look at ourselves and we understand what our look is, it's going to be dependent on some simple things like color, fabric, feel, okay, flow. In the bedroom, you want things to be softer. You want them to be more inviting. You want them to be a reward, both to you and anyone who might be there with you. So the threadbare sweats that you've been wearing because it's just the family, those need to go. Or your husband's college jersey because it covers you and hides you and you don't really want him to see parts that jiggle. Excuse me, is he blind? Does he love you anyway? Of course he does. He didn't marry you for your hips. I promise. So let's just start to look at these things as an opportunity to make ourselves feel beautiful by putting on something that makes us feel beautiful. And then we can actually show up as the person he married, dated, took interest in the first place. Whoever it is that's with you, let them celebrate you because you've celebrated you. And the best place to do that is in the home and in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Paula,
ruffles,
you must share
you can't
ruffles.
Wear it during the day. Yeah. If ruffles aren't appropriate to your professional look, but you love ruffles, then bring it into your bedroom. Bring it into a robe. Bring it into a lounge outfit. Bring it into something soft. If you love velvet, if you love cashmere, if you love, you know, things that are touchable, soft, and sweet that don't necessarily go to business, bring them into your home and put them on your body so you can feel it, so your body can feel it and know that this is, you know, this is a way to love yourself, and everyone else will respond to that without question.
True.
Paula, you must share your bathrobe tip.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm such a nut on this feature of how so many of us just love that white. Well, there's two things here. Let me come back to the white spa bathrobe in a minute. I think, and this is a Paula point, that our bathrobes should be replaced, A, either every year, or B, at the first non-removable stain on them.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Paula.
And, you know, it may sound a little extravagant, or it may sound a little, you know, well, the economy, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? You can pass that bathrobe on to a consignment shop if it's a year old and it's not as pristine, and it might be good for someone else. Secondly, the white spa bathrobe. Now, I don't know about anybody else out there listening, but personally, with my coloring, which tends to be very high contrast, dark hair, very light skin, if I don't have lipstick on, I look like I've been kind of dead for a while. Mm-hmm. So me getting up and putting on a white bathrobe without any makeup on is not pretty. So there are two things I do about this. Number one, I slip on a little bit of lipstick, which I keep out on the dressing table. So it's just as soon as I brush my teeth, boom, slip on a little lipstick. It's part of my just morning. I don't even think about it. And number two, my bathrobe is pale pink because I happen to look a lot healthier in a pale pink bathrobe than I do a stark, glaring white bathrobe. Because again, looking to, as Lauren, you're saying, teeth color and white of eye color. If you are wearing a white, and your teeth are not white, or your eye color is not white, it's going to, by contrast, make them look yellower or a little off color, grayer, whatever. So
bloodshot or jaundice,
yes,
or anything.
Not mm-hmm. romantic looks in my books.
Beautiful theory, and I love your theory on white for just that reason, because there are so many different whites, and we tend to just buy what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And the bathrobe theory I love. And that follows along with all your white garments, white T-shirts, white workout shirts, white blouses, button-downs, white shirts at all. They're going to stain and discolor quickly. They don't have a choice. It's white.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean you don't invest in the best quality you can afford. You do. But you don't for a minute think that it's going to last you for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's not that it's planned obsolescence. It's that life happens. And life happens especially when you wear white.
Mm-hmm.
Because that renegade tomato, it's going to get you.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're wearing white. It won't get you when you wear navy.
Oh,
of
course not.
It doesn't care when you wear navy. But, boy, it can sniff out that white shirt, and it's going to get you. If you find one, buy two, buy three.
Mm-hmm.
Put them away in the closet. Have them there so that this doesn't become, again, another source of immense stress and a teary-eyed rendition of, oh, my God, I love that shirt. I'll never find it again. Oh, wait, I have a box of these shirts in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go pull out another one.
Right. And also pass it on to someone else, too. You know, may not be right.
If it's not beyond repair, if it is still
yes.
wearable,
right.
if it's not, you know, horribly damaged,
right.
then donate it.
Exactly.
Make your trash someone else's treasure.
Exactly.
There is someone out there who wants to show love to that garment, and they will.
Because there may be somebody, Lauren, who is very handy with a needle and thread, and you may have a little coffee stain on the front. They may sew a little flower over it and make it their own personalized garment.
Mm-hmm. You very well may.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Creating that opportunity for them means you get to do good for them, and you
mm-hmm.
get to do good for you.
Yeah, share the energy there. That's great mm-hmm. stuff.
Lauren, you have on your website some great testimonials, and I would love to call our listeners' attention to your website, which is www.lsimage. That's, I assume that's for Lauren Solomon, lsimage.com. And one of your testimonials says, this is from Shoshana Bennett, who said, I could have written a book about all Lauren has contributed to my life. Lauren understands her clients on a deep level and gets what we need, often before we do, for both personal and professional image. I wouldn't work with anyone else. That's a huge testimonial. And she's an author, a speaker, and a psychologist. Do you have a particular favorite client or some amazing transformation that you could share?
Oh, Shoshana was a great transformation. She was really stepping up and out in her life. She was in transition, going through a divorce, moving into her professional sole place as the expert in postpartum depression, and really starting her speaking career and stepping up into a whole new place. And she had been so busy keeping her head down all so many years just to get the job done, as so many of us do, that she had pushed goddess so far down that the poor little goddess girl was strangled inside her. And I have a program called Go Get the Goddess that I renamed Please Don't Shoot the Goddess. Because we really forget that ultimately that is our gift, that as the goddess, we are here for only two reasons, as I learned from my own brilliant coaches, that we receive and we create. And we receive in order to create. So by focusing on the doing and getting stuff done, that's not really our job. So we need to be in our creative and receiving selves in order to be our very best. So what you see in that transformation of Shoshana, which was just fabulous, is taking her from a very basic kind of flat person, two-dimensional, where she actually felt she was, and moving her into a vibrant, amazing goddess who, when she shows up now, you get that she's the goddess. She's the whole package. Mm-hmm. She has just gotten it so well and so completely, and embodies it and lives it and embraces it. And really, I couldn't give you a, you know, one over another. Each individual is so unique, and each experience is perfect in the way that it unfolds, in the way that it creates results. For each individual, depending on where they are and where they're going. And frankly, I'm just honored that they invite me along on their journey.
Mm. Wow, you are inspirational, Lauren. I am loving what you're talking about. Aren't you, Paula?
Oh, it's fantastic. So say, for example, Lauren, the man in your life has a really different sense of taste and style than you do. There's kind of two questions in here. Let's start with that one. What if the guy in your life thinks that you should be wearing, where could I go with that one?
Really short leopard
skirt
with rockin' heels.
You got it, girl. That's where I was going with that. And you think perhaps that's not your best look. Well, how would you address that?
Basically, you need to dress for yourself. You need to dress in a way that allows you to feel comfortable. But if you think for a minute about the person you're with in relationship, I work with a concept called clanning. That means people who are in relationship actually grow to look alike.
Mm-hmm.
Dress alike. We have shared sensibility of style, of energy, of a lot of the things that we share in our lives. It doesn't mean that we necessarily share the exact taste. But if you respect your partner on so many different levels, and that they're seeing something else in you that maybe you don't see, then it's worth exploring. But I wouldn't take it out of the house very quickly.
I think that's
until you get confident that, hey, maybe, you know, maybe I could wear my skirts a little more fitted, a little more tailored. Maybe he's got a point there. My skirts actually may be too big.
Mm.
They don't flatter me, but I can't do that leopard thing anywhere but in a casino in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you put the leopard thing into a really beautiful leopard scarf or a handbag, but not the leopard miniskirt.
You can absolutely do that. And at the same time, take the information that someone is giving you and look to see if maybe they do actually see something in you that you don't see in yourself, except in the case of them dressing you according to their agenda.
Right, exactly. You know, Lauren, we've
got girlfriend conflict a lot of the time is, you know, she has her version of how you should look and doesn't necessarily want you to look better than she does.
The girlfriend conflict, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. We've got just another couple minutes here, Lauren. So if you had, tell us quickly, because I just have to ask you, you have some tips that you call Lauren Loves. What? Give us a quick couple of those.
My media brand is Lauren Loves, and it's Lauren Loves Image, Life, and Style, because your image goes so far beyond the clothes that you wear that everything that we do when we tap your image actually goes deeper into your life and your style in everything that you do. So it's built on a series of, it's quotes, some from my own quotes from my own books and writings, others from authors and speakers and people I love and respect. Some of it is around who I love, what I love, what Lauren loves right now. So it's my newsletter, it's my Facebook and my social media presence, and you can tap into my thoughts on any given day, either on the website or in the social media. But for instance, one of my, you know, my whole thing is what does Lauren love right now? One of my recent quotes was that by bringing your passion and your talent with you everywhere you go, you make a contribution simply by being who you are. And that was
beautiful.
Out of my book, Image Matters, and something that as I have been rereading and looking back to what really matters to me, I'm basically bringing these things back out into the public ear and eye. And for instance, in my next Lauren Loves will be a link to this show.
Excellent.
So that my own community can hear it and
yes.
and enjoy it and tune into you for future shows.
Wonderful. Well, if you had just one point, and I know there's you've got such a wealth of information, Lauren, and I've just loved listening to you and hearing your wisdom. If you had one point to leave our listening audience with, what would that point be?
More is not better.
Mm.
More.
Perfect.
I like
we
it.
We clutter our
know,
lives
Lauren,
and we clutter
also,
our brains with stuff. And that's in our wardrobes, it's in our heads, it's in our homes, it's in all that we do. And it doesn't necessarily reflect who we truly are. So paring down and really spending time with yourself, just answer the question, who am I? Who do I want to be? How do I want to be received and rewarded? These are tough questions. If they weren't, everybody would answer them.
That's right. Lauren, thank you so much. I think we need to invite Lauren back on the show for another...
You know why, Paula? Because she's also got a book on how to pack for a week in a carry-on, and we've got to have her back to discuss
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, we do. Well, thank you, Lauren, and our hour is already coming to a close. I can't believe it. And we invite you to visit our website, which is www.passionbydesign.com. And where you'll find more information about living your life with passion, as well as finding out how you can purchase our book, Passion by Design. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah. Join us next week, Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 on AM 1240 KNRY for another hour of Passion by Design.
Community radio for the Central Coast.
AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.